Praise the Lord. That's great. In your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 22, as we just read. Did want to mention, wanted to thank the Morin Mission Group for the Father-Son breakfast yesterday morning. It was wonderful. Plenty of food. In fact, you had to have food left over. I'm thinking you probably did. And anyways, just fantastic, wonderful time. Brother Dave spoke and just had a great, great time there. And so we all overate. I'm sorry, we all ate there. And then the retirement party, 25 years teaching, Judy Helensky, in a retirement party. And a lady that is certainly deserving of that and taught so many young people. And then an open house. And, of course, Brother Chase, then, all that's going on. And the Chase, Brother Chase, in the class of 2014, 117 pies, is that right? 115 pies. And just a lot going on. Busy, busy weekend. And a lot of eating. Yes, amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. Just a great, great day yesterday. And praise the Lord for that. Well, the theme for 2013 is for such a time as this. And this month, the month of June, is a time for discipleship. And perfect timing for Father's Day and talking about discipleship. I want to talk to you this morning about train up a child. Actually, this morning and tonight, it is two parts. Train up a child from Proverbs 22, verses 1 through 6. You'll notice verse 1, a good name is rather be chosen. Obviously, it's not talking about Fred or Cecil or Cletus. Those are great names, by the way. Throckmorton, Poindexter, quality names. But it is not just that kind of naming somebody, but choosing your name as to your life, your testimony, what your name is, how you live, how you act, how people know you. And that is certainly very important. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a direct result of verse 6, and that is how you were trained. It says train up a child. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning and tonight. Father, thank you again for all the good music today. Lord, I pray it's prepared us now to listen to your word. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will move across these pews and touch our hearts, speak to our hearts. Certainly, Lord, you know the hearts. You know if anybody's here who's not saved, that needs to be saved, I pray you'll convict that person and that they'll trust you. And then just challenge all of us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, of course, tonight we'll have a baby dedication, and which is one of the reasons I thought of this passage. But also Father's Day, the training certainly falls on the father. Now, I realize there are some ladies here who are not married that have children. We have situations like that. We have all kinds of situations like that in our church and the world and everything. But primarily, it falls on fathers. But I especially don't want to just think about Father's Day. I want to think about Berean Baptist Church and our responsibility to train up children. Our responsibility that we have, not only with our Sunday school classes, our junior churches, but we have it with our bus ministry. You know, we don't bring children here just to say we brought children. We don't run buses. We don't have $20,000 budgeted and then more that comes in every week that people give, thus spending maybe $30,000 a year on a bus ministry just to say, hey, we have a bus ministry. No, we need to make sure that when they come, they're hearing the truth. Make sure when they come, they're not only hearing how to be saved, but once they get saved, they are being taught so that they grow. Vacation Bible School, same thing. It is a huge ministry of our church. Last year we had, I believe, 150 people, 150 workers involved in Vacation Bible School alone, just the workers. And we don't want to do it, just say, well, we had Vacation Bible School, isn't that wonderful? No, we want them to learn. We want them to grow. We want them to get saved, get baptized, and grow in the Lord. Same with our Shepherd's Bible School. I don't want to have any kind of program ever where we just say we did it. Oh boy, you know, we did this. That's great. No, we want something to happen. And the Bible schools are designed where young people and where shepherds, those whose capabilities may not be like others, they're going to learn. They're going to grow. We try to deal with issues they deal with. And it's so important. Train up a child, the Bible says. Our bus ministry, our junior churches, all of the phases here of Berean Baptist Church, Berean Baptist Academy, it is training up a child. Amen. And it ought to be the focus as parents, as grandparents, as members of our church. Any child that I can influence, any child that I can have a part in training them right, any child that I can have a part where I can take the Word of God and I can train them with this book, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to have a part. And I want to make sure that I realize this is my obligation to train them up. I don't think anything should be done that we just say, well, we did it. It ought to be, we have a purpose, we're focused on this purpose, and we're going to train up children in the way they should go. And it's so important. Again, our own children, very, very important. Our own grandchildren, our own great-grandchildren, we have that certainly here. We all have an obligation. But as members of Berean Baptist Church, we have a huge obligation. We have a huge obligation. I was noticing as we got back from being gone for the week, and I was noticing the playground again. And kids I've never seen before. And it's like that every summer, every spring. You know, people have moved, and certainly in Michigan, there's a lot of that going on. And I'm seeing all these kids that we've never seen before. They're just new kids in the neighborhood, new kids that are coming over here, and they come to the playground and play during the week. And we have an obligation to them. We have an obligation not just to give them a playground to play on. We have an obligation to tell them the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ and how to be saved, but then to train them. Train them. To teach them what the Bible says about their Christian life and about growing. So I want to talk to you this morning primarily. We'll just talk about one thing, and that is the training. The training, and then we'll finish things off tonight. But number one, the training. The Bible says here, train up a child. How? Well, in the way he should go. There is a right way, there is a wrong way. Look at Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. And I love this, Jeremiah 6. Talking about those old paths, amen, the old ways, the old beliefs. You know, people say, well, you're just old-fashioned. Praise the Lord. You cannot compliment me any better than that. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. You know what? It's worked back in the old days, and it still works. It doesn't mean that we can't have air conditioning. Praise God. It doesn't mean we can't have nice chandeliers. Doesn't mean we can't drive cars and all that. It just means those old ways, that old doctrine, that old truth. If it was truth then, it's still truth today. Amen. We need to stick with it. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? You're standing in the ways. There's a lot of ways, folks. A lot of ways. Our young people, they'll come, they stand in the ways. There are this way you can go. You can go that way. You can go the drug way. You can go alcohol way. You can go the immorality way. You can go the humanistic way. There's all these different ways. But the Bible says that see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Of course, they said, we will not walk therein. And there are lots of people that want nothing to do with those old paths. They want nothing to do with that way. But that's the way we train. We're training God's way. We're training to get on that old path. We're training to go that way because, why? It's the right way. Amen. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. You know, we all have or are familiar with GPS. We have, what's that thing called? The TomTom. I remember one pastor school. I think Brother Chase presented that to us for the first time. And some British fellow said, turn right, yeah. And it was hilarious. I mean, we had such a good time with that. And we have, what's that called? OnStar. came with our car that we leased, and so we have OnStar, and they're telling you to turn right, in a quarter of a mile, turn right, and all these kind of things, and so we used that when we went into Illinois and got in some areas we'd never been before. In fact, we were in some areas I don't know that anybody's ever been before, but Brother Dave actually went on a mud hike, and some were making reference to that. Apparently, he sent those pictures out and everything. I've got some unique pictures of Brother Dave. But we're talking about areas that has not been explored yet, I think. But anyway, we use that and kind of get a kick out of it. I always talk to the people and ask them where they're from, and then my wife and I wonder if they're listening to us. You ever think of that? Because they're right there. I mean, they come on live, OnStar, can we help you, Mr. Rogers? How do you know who I am? Well, they know. And I wonder, sometimes I wonder if they're listening. Sometimes we say silly things. Say, what do you think of that? But you have a choice when they give you. Many, many times, they'll say, turn left here or turn right here. And I think, I think there's something better to do. I think there's a better way to go. And sure enough, I'll go the other way. Maybe I think I know of a shortcut or something like that. And I'll go the other way. And immediately, as soon as you make that turn, it goes beep, beep, beep. You have left the designated route. And it's like, okay, well, and I kind of feel guilty. In our lives, many, many times, God is telling us in church. He tells us during preaching. He tells us during our Bible reading. He wants it. Beep, 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 beep. You have left the designated route. We get off the path. We get off the right way because the right way is crucial for us. That's what discipleship's all about. That's what training up a child is all about, because there is a right way. Amen. The way that he should go. It's the right way. It's the way that God will bless. For example, if you're going to go to the mall, don't go north on 52 from here. All right? Now, you'll run into a mall, but you won't run into ours. Well, we won't comment on what may be better for you. But if you're going to go to the mall from here, don't go west on 54. You're not gonna get there. And we all understand that when we think about a map and we think about going to grandma's or we think about going, we understand all of that, and yet we're so casual with training up a child. We're so casual with, well, as long as all they have, we have things for them to color and they can all have fun, and it's not what it's about. It's about a right way. It's about showing them the right way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if we just take that to heart and understand, they can go a wrong way and it ends up with death. And we need to realize that we know the right way. And we who have found it and we have learned it, now it's up to us to train others. The training is so important, and the way it is so important. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." What words? These words. It matters what words. It matters what we tell them. Why? Because it is the way. It's the right way. It's the only way. These words, he said, not just any words, not just pick whatever you want, not just pick and choose, not just, well, I don't like this, I'll leave it out, I like this, I'll keep it. No, it's all of his words. He said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." These words, what's he say? And talk of them. What? The words. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What do you talk about at home? Dad? What are the... I'm not saying you can't talk about baseball. I'm not saying you can't talk about the race today. I'm just saying, what is most of the conversation in your home? Because God says, when you're sitting in your house, talk about those words. these words. When thou walkest by the way, what do you talk about? When you're walking by the way and you're talking to your neighbors and you're talking to people at the store, and do you have a gospel tract? Do you have the words of God to give out to people? I mean, what do we talk about when you walk by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up? Should be, we talk about those things, these words. And the sad thing is, for so many, the only time they touch their Bible, well, they just did today to come to church. You know, we just, well, we find the Bible. Let's go to church. Dad, read the Bible with your children. Sir, read the Bible with your family. Read the Bible. You don't have to have an hour service. Just read the Bible. Just spend some time. Amen. Somebody ought to amen. Honestly, you really should. I know your wife may not let you, but listen to me. We need these words in our home. We need these words in church over and over and over. We have verse hearers at Vacation Bible School. And some young people, they'll memorize verse after verse after verse after verse. And they'll memorize those verses. And it's so precious. It's not just something, well, we better add this because, you know, we're a church. No. Everything's on purpose. Every verse is on purpose. The verses tie in with everything we're teaching. Everything is on purpose. Why? They're these words. And God said these words are important. He said they're so important. He said, thou shalt, verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Sounds pretty important to me. The word of God. It sounds pretty important to me. These words, it's amazing how in America today, I mean, it used to be that it was important. Used to be the Bible was, that was our English textbook. Now, not today. Not today. In fact, the Bible's not allowed in the public schools. Not even allowed. And yet God said these words. These words. They've got to have these words. And you know what? How are they going to know which way to go without these words? The truth is they will not know. They cannot know which way is right, which way is wrong. In anything to do with discipleship, it all starts right here with the Word of God. It has to be there. It has to be used. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, that mix them all up. And the only way that anybody can tell which is this book right here. You're not going to be able to tell. It is especially, you know, as the days wax worse and worse, it's getting harder and harder. And if you don't know this book, you're going to find yourself going the wrong way. And the only hope is that we use the Word of God to show people the way. Why? Because I have to train up a child. I have to train up a child. And God is not the author of confusion. You know what? According to Isaiah 5:20, you can tell the difference between evil and good. Amen? That's with the Bible. You can tell the difference between dark and light. Amen? According to the Bible, you can tell the difference between bitter and sweet. You can tell the difference, but only with the Word of God. It tells us the way. It tells us the way. It is so very, very clear. God wants us to make sure, okay, train up a child. What am I supposed to do? I mean, okay, I'll teach him how. I'll teach that boy how to throw a football. Okay, that's okay. Go ahead. Amen. I'll teach him how to bat, you know, and hit a baseball. Praise the Lord. That's great. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, some of you guys, you found out you were having a boy, and you went out and bought a mitt. You know, right away. I mean, that's, yeah, I'm excited about that. And, you know, and we get all these, I'm going to teach my daughter how to cook. Praise the Lord. That's a great thing. But you know, the number one thing that should come from every Christian as we think of discipleship is discipling that little baby. Our kids heard the word of God when they were little babies, sitting on a rocking chair and rocking them to sleep. I mean, seriously, they heard singing about the things of God always, over and over and over and over. I'm putting some of you to sleep right now. You know, I mean, that's why? Because it's the way. Train up a child in the way. The way. What way? Well, God shows us a way to be saved. That's number one. Should be the first thing. Every baby, I go to the hospital, give out a little New Testament, and you know, almost always have done that with so many here. And I always pray, oh God, please save this child at a young age. I got news for you. You know, they come through the nurseries. They come through the 2 and 3 year olds. They come through the 4 and 5 year olds. They go through first through third. I mean, somewhere in there, I guarantee they're going to hear the gospel over and over and over again. But you know where they really need to hear it over and over and over again? At home. They really do. Jesus said, "I am the way." There is a way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Oh, you know, the devil, he'll try to get them to believe in work salvation. He'll try to get them to believe in religion saving them. I don't know how many young people, you know, they I've grown up in church. That doesn't save you, growing up in church. Well, my dad's a deacon, doesn't save you. My dad's a preacher, doesn't save you. My dad's a Sunday school, doesn't save you. Hey, let's make sure they're hearing the way of salvation. Let's make sure they know the way of salvation. You know, well, I'm just very sincere, but that's not going to save anybody. And you know, you could be here today and you grew up in church. You've always been in church and you could be as lost as any heathen out there, never gone to church in his life. The way of salvation. You know, hell has a wide way. That's because there's so many going there. Heaven's a narrow way. And I think the reason it's so narrow is because it starts with "I've sinned." And you know, especially in our world today with humanism being taught in our schools and so prevalent of thinking, most people are humanistic and humanism leaves out "I've sinned." In fact, you know, soul winners are finding out you're offending people left and right when you go in and say, "You know, we've all sinned." "No, I don't know that." "Oh yeah, you are really." No, or the husband says, "Honey, you really are." But anyway, yeah, I sinned, and I can't save myself. That they need to know that. You cannot save yourself. You can't work your way to heaven. They need to know they need a Savior. And he is our Savior. And He died on the cross. And He paid for our sins. And whosoever shall call upon Him, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's where our program starts with our children. Train up a child. It all starts with show him how to be saved. Show him how he can know for sure he's going to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. We talked about that, talking about the time for salvation. And that has to start from a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. God shows us a way to seek him. Jeremiah 29:13. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Ye shall seek me and find me." Over and over and over in the scriptures, we are told to seek him. "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Over and over and over, God says, I've made it very easy. Door's always open. I mean, I'm always there. Never a time you won't reach me if you just seek me. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to tell him that. God's not, oh, you know, way, way far off and he's unattainable. No, he's always right there. You can go to him anytime. I've watered my pillow with tears many, many nights, 3 o'clock, 3, 2, 1 o'clock in the morning. You have too. And you know what? He never says, I'm too busy for this. Or you never call on God and hear him snoring. My wife's called on me before and heard me snoring, I'm sure. But it's never that way with God. Praise the Lord. They need to know that. They need to know that there is a way to seek him, no matter what. No matter what the problem, no matter what the issue, no matter what's going on, they need to know there's a way to seek God. And ye shall seek me and find me. You know, hey, do you tell your kids that? Do they know mom and dad pray? Sir, do they know you pray? Have your kids ever heard you pray? I'm talking about beyond good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. I'm talking about, have they ever heard you talk to God? Have they ever seen you weep before God? Have they ever seen you lay bills on the floor and pray over those bills? Oh, God, I need you to pay these. Huh? Seeking a walk with God daily. They can do that. They can walk with, every child can walk with God. God wants that. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so, again, hey, listen. You can walk with God. You can talk with God. You can spend time with God. Teach him to seek the Word of God. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isn't that good? Amen. Blessed. They hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled, the Bible says. Oh, you say, you know, they're not interested. Well, the Bible says, Proverbs 27:7, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You get hungry enough, I guarantee, it doesn't matter what's set before you, you'll eat it. I give the illustration about Bible college, and we were broke. We had nothing. And I remember, you know, praying, oh, God, I have no idea what we're going to eat. And I got home, and sure enough, my wife had some supper made, and I wasn't sure how in the world she did that because I knew we were broke. And she had supper made, and I sat down, and I started eating. I think it was hot dogs, and I recognized that. But I started eating these orange things and looked like sweet potatoes. And I said, wow. I said, this is pretty good. And I was starving. I mean, I was really hungry. And anyway, I'm eating this. I said, wow. I said, these sweet potatoes. I said, you made those like grandma. And she just said, uh-huh. Uh-huh. I said, you know, and I ate some more. I said, could I have a little more of that? And she said, sure. Yeah, we've got. I said, man, I said, I haven't had sweet potatoes in years. I said, this is really, it's really special. And she goes, uh-huh. Uh-huh. She said later on, you know, we were done eating everything, and she said later on, she said, honey, she said, have you ever had squash? I said, oh, I don't eat squash. I said, you'll never get me to eat, so I'm not eating squash. She said, well, you just did. And she said, you liked it. But you know, when you're hungry, you'll eat anything. You don't care what it is, especially if you don't know what it is. But when I was young, I remember my grandma making mushrooms, fried mushrooms. I mean, hallelujah. I mean, she would make fried mushrooms, and grandma knew how to make them. You know, you smash them real good, get them real crispy. But I used to walk in, I'd say, oh, that is gross. How can anybody eat that? I'll never forget. And my dad used to always laugh about the first day they finally got me to try a mushroom. Fried mushroom. And I ate it. Dad said it was the worst day of his life because after that he never got them. And I mean, it changed my life. But I came in from playing. I was hungry. And so I was willing to try it. I am so glad to this day. And I'm glad my wife learned the recipe for fried mushrooms. And the key to it is mushrooms. Just thought I'd tell you that. Look, we have an obligation. An obligation to say, hey, here's the way. And if you're hungry enough, you find the way, because we're going to make it very clear to you. You don't have to barf out what you get, but you may. But if you're hungry, you'll get it. You will get it. You know, our biggest problem is not the truth, because we have that. Our biggest problem is people that are already come to church full. And they're full of junk. But if they're hungry, I'll tell you what, they'll get it. They'll get it. To the hungry soul, doesn't matter how bitter. Doesn't matter. You know what? We've all sat and the Word of God's been bitter to us before, hasn't it? Huh? Amen. Amen. I mean, we wish it was all steak. We wish it was all hot fudge sundae. Glory to God. Don't we? Yeah. We wish it was all barbecue pork chops. Amen. You're getting hungry now. I can hear guts growling. But it isn't always that. Sometimes it's artichoke spinach souffle. I don't even know what that is. One of the worst things to me, just because of the way it looks, even is Brussels sprouts. I don't know, it's just scary. But they look like eyes. But the truth of the matter is, when you're hungry, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, preaching is preaching when you're hungry. Amen. Amen. It's just well, okay, if that's the truth, that's the way it is. If that's what the Bible says. Do you know Psalm 107, verse 9 says, "He filleth the hungry soul with goodness." You know what I say? Come hungry. Come to church hungry. Not just, well, we got to go to church. Okay, you're not hungry. You know, probably you'll be one that'll say, I'll never get fed. You're not ever going to get fed. You ever watch a little baby when they've had enough? You ever watch the wall when they've had enough? Because you put it in their mouth and they go, and it's everywhere, right? Carrots. By the way, strained carrots just doesn't, that's scary. But anyway, anything strained is kind of scary. But they just spit it out. I'm going to tell you why you don't get fed, because you feed on other stuff, and when you come to church, you're not hungry. There's so much Bible. I've had people say before, you use too much Bible. I don't get that. But anyway, but I do get it when, hey, look, I mean, you can only have so much hot fudge sundae. Amen. Sometimes you get into some turnips and spinach and stuff like, because that's how the Word of God is. And when God's doing work on us, let me tell you something. When God's, it's not fun. But when you're hungry, you don't care. You don't care. Praise the Lord. God gives a way to seek. And of course, seeking the will of God. Huh? Train up a child. Who needs to know God's direction day to day more than a child? I mean, a child who's starting out, God has a will, He has a plan for their life, and here we are. And you take a child, and in your mind, you see all these paths, and there they stand. Amen? And you have an option here. You have an opportunity, I should say, as a parent, as a Sunday school teacher, you have an opportunity to take that child and start him on the right path. We have that opportunity. Isn't that? That's amazing that we can do that. We're not doing it just because. We're doing it because these children need somebody to train them. And we have the right training. We have the Word of God, the truth. And sir, you have a Bible. You have a great opportunity with your children. Amen. God's plan for their life. And we can steer them in the right direction. God gives a way to surrender, His way. It's surrendering to Him. Yeah, I love the invitation song, "I Surrender All." Of all the invitation songs, I remember that more than any as a new Christian. By the way, there's a whole other kind of child right there is the new Christian. You know, "I Surrender All." All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. His way, not my way. One of the biggest battles we all have had, and we're still having, is surrendering all. It is one of our biggest battles. But especially the child. Hey, you need to surrender. By the way, the child doesn't have a whole lot they have to surrender. They don't have a lot of baggage they need to get rid of. They're a child. You know, they don't have a lot of stuff like somebody who's in their 50s and 60s may have a whole lot of stuff. But surrendering to His way, confessing sin, going to an altar, at the altar call, opening up their heart. Amen. It's all it is just, here's the way, walk in it. Right here, this way. This is the way that's going to lead you to success. This is the way where your blessings are going to be. This is the way where God's going to use you. Walk in that way. We have a responsibility. Dad, it's your responsibility. Church, it's our responsibility. God gives a way to surrender. God gives a way to be separated. You know, all through the Old Testament, we're not supposed to mix with the heathen. All through the Bible, the leprosy, good picture of separation. Unclean! Unclean! Well, somebody's cussing and swearing and talking bad about the Lord and using his name in vain. Aren't they yelling, "I'm unclean"? Yeah. That doesn't mean we don't try to get them clean. But we sure don't become their buddies and we sure don't watch their programs. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be ye separate. But again, things are getting so out of hand in Christianity, whereby, yeah, phooey on that. We need to be like them so we can win them. No, you need to be like Jesus Christ so they can be one to him. Amen. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Church today, churches have become too worldly. Why? Because the members are worldly. That's what the church is. Hello. Right? And we just keep shifting with the world. We need to stick to the program and amen. And just stick to the program and be different. And be the peculiar people God says that we are. Amen. Because there is a way. And God told us the way. Oh, you say it's too hard. It's not that hard. It's not. It is. You know, I understand. It's not the most pleasant thing. We talked about it with the two witnesses during the tribulation time and what they're going to go through. And we're preaching about that in Revelation. And you know, they throw up when they're finally killed after 3.5 years of their ministry of soul winning and preaching and burning people up with fire that comes out of their mouth. These guys finally, the Antichrist kills them. And they lay in the street for 3.5 days. And the people, the Bible says the people rejoice in the tribulation. It's the one time the word rejoice is used. They rejoice because these preachers are dead. And they give gifts to one another like Christmas. Why? Because the preachers are dead. I got news for you. That hatred didn't start or doesn't just start in the tribulation. That hatred carries over from today. You say, I don't want that. I want everybody to love me. Listen to me. That's not the way. That's not God's way. They hung Jesus on a cross not because they loved him. They hated him. A way to be separated. A way to serve. And that's so amazing. Now, I think of our vacation Bible school and our teenager. They start signing up. Now I've got teenagers. They sign up. You know, I want to work with these, and I want to work. I want to do this, and I want to do that. And you know, some think they want to work with the gospel gunfighter, and they just want to serve. You know, that's why we're here. We're here to serve. Shouldn't they hear that from a child? Yeah, you're here to serve. Serve God. God has a plan for your life. You didn't get saved just so you could sit and soak like SpongeBob Christians. Right? I mean, God has a plan for your life. And so many, you know, so many have quit and so many have never started. And they go through their whole life. As a Christian, they're saved and they go through their whole life never doing anything for God. How sad. How sad. Dad, what are you teaching your kids? What are you teaching your kids? Huh? There's a way. There's a way to serve God so many ways. That's our going to be our theme for the month of July is a time to serve. And, you know, there's so many opportunities. I'm thinking about church cleaning day. We had such a good time. Amen. Church cleaning. And this place sparkled. I mean, it was just amazing. Still very clean from that day. And people were having a good time and working hard and fellowshipping. And nobody was gossiping. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was grumpy. Well, there might have been a few grumpy people. But Dale Stewart, every now and then he gets that way. But you know, there's a way to serve. And we had kids out here. Kids were working hard, carrying chairs and doing things. And they got to see, you know what, I can serve God. It is a big deal. It is a big deal to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I close with this, and that is God provides a way to succeed. A way to succeed in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. Go back there. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. A way to succeed, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Notice that, longer days. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That all sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That all sounds good. You know, that program works. Honestly, we have a vacation Bible school program, and we talk about prizes. Amen. I'm talking about a major sheriff's badge this year that is amazing. I mean, it is made from the finest metal. It's quality. And I promise, there'll be actually, I'm thinking of some of our shepherds. They're going to like that too, we're talking quality, okay? And oh boy, you get this. But see, here's what they really get: they get the truth. Here's what they really get: they get an opportunity. Are you listening? They get an opportunity to succeed, to start on the path that is success. To start on a path that they can get saved and have a home in heaven, and they can grow up living for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you were saved at Vacation Bible School? Raise your hand. Quite a few. Kathy Morin was, I didn't know that. Saved at a Vacation Bible School. Second grade. That's amazing. You know, and what an opportunity. They can start. I hope you look at all these programs, but more than anything, Dad and Mom, I hope you look at your little children and you understand you have the solution to the question, how do I succeed? How do I? You have it right here. You have it in the Word of God. Train up a child. We'll talk more about it tonight. Let's bow our heads, please.